Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, all 12 Pac-12 schools are back in action in some form and fashion. USC begins their phase one of voluntary workouts today. Talk a lot about USC, don't we? When USC's bad, we talk about USC needing to be better. When USC's good, we talk about USC being great. Ryan Abraham is the editor and publisher, USCfootball.com. He's the go-to. I'm bringing him on the show. I love his work. Ryan, thanks for making time for us.
How are you, man? How you doing, man?
Doing well. Where are you right now? Set the scene for us. Ryan, you there? We lost Ryan. Just like that, Judah.
I was going to say, that's just riveting. I mean, he really took me right there.
I thought for a second, well, maybe I didn't hear him, you know?
Right.
But maybe the question was hard-hitting, you know? Where are you right now? You know why I like to do that? Because I think we're all so visual, and I think listeners, radio is such a, you have the ability to use a little telepathy in radio. And I think when I can tell people I'm sitting right now in a studio that is 4 feet wide by about 16 feet long, it's all soundproof. I have green, kind of a green chroma key color that is on all of the walls. I've got my board and equipment, three computers in here. It is, it's not warm in this room, but it's not cold either. And I'm sitting on a metal stool, and I'm sitting in front of my laptops, and I've got my microphone in front of me with a big long boom on the microphone so I can get comfortable and lean back against the green felt wall and do this interview. Now I've set a stage. I've set a scene for you.
That sounds amazing. Maybe Ryan, you know, he knows that someone's listening that he doesn't want to tell them where he's calling in from, so he couldn't think of a lie fast enough.
Oh, crap. Yeah. I got to go right now. Do you believe in telepathy when it comes to radio?
Oh, yeah. I mean, radio telepathy is a real thing in the sense of you're always about painting a picture. What people forget about radio is like, You can't see anything. They say this about baseball play-by-play, or really any play-by-play on the radio. You've got to over-describe. You got to over-describe in order to properly set the scene for people in their cars. They've got a million things going on. So the more description that you can give, the better.
Like, I could tell you about a golden retriever with a red handkerchief tied around its neck that is lying on the carpet working on a bone. It's not here. I made that up, but we could all see it, right?
Right.
You could see it. Ryan Abraham is back, USCfootball.com. Where are you, Ryan? Why are you being so dodgy about this?
I'm sorry, John. Just in my office. Just did a podcast, so I don't know. Technology. COVID stuff, I guess.
Yeah, give us an idea. USC getting back to workouts. Is that a sigh of relief moment? Because I know LA County was hit pretty hard.
Yeah, it's weird because if you look at the rest of the Pac-12, everyone else had announced something up until last night except USC. The California schools, you know, understandably a little behind, but UCLA had announced something a week or so before that. Stanford did announce something, but they're kind of what USC is calling phase one, where they're not going to have players being on-campus housing or things like that. And at least for the first week, that's what USC is going to do. Only local guys, anyone within an hour, will be coming onto campus. And it might seem, you know, a little slow compared to some of the other programs across the conference and across the country, but I think it's the LA County thing being a big part of it. I know the people I talked to at USC were sort of like in this, they wanted to see what other programs were going to do first. They weren't going to be jumping out there just to get players working out. So you get it. You want everyone to be safe, but I think it was time. They needed to make some kind of announcement, and we got that last night.
We got news on the kind of the recruiting front when Dante Williams jumped from Oregon to USC, but a lot of us didn't know, like, what is the net effect of that? You're somebody who's plugged in that way. What did getting Dante Williams from Oregon back in the USC, back in Southern California, what did that mean to the Trojans?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, if you look at USC's recruiting class last year, John, it was the worst I've ever seen, probably the worst ever. You talk to old-time people that used to follow whatever the 1-900 numbers and stuff before the internet. It's just they don't remember a recruiting class that was that bad for USC. And a lot of it, to me, had to do with not just the 5-7 season the previous year, but really the effort that these assistant coaches were making. They had so many part-time recruiters on staff. And when Clay Elton reworked the staff this offseason, they brought in a lot of guys similar to Dante Williams that were going to be full-time recruiters. They're going to be relentless on the recruiting trail. And that's made a big difference. They now have like the number 4 or 5 class in the country. And the leader, you know, the reigning Pac-12 recruiter of the year is Dante Williams. You know, he comes from Southern California, knows these players really well. You know how good of a job he did at Oregon. But just having people that were actually putting in effort, and Dante Williams is right at the top of that list, I think it's made a big difference for Clay Helton. So they, in college football, just bringing in recruits, that is the lifeblood of your program. And I think USC sort of overlooked that and looked it to be like, hey, USC is going to recruit itself. Well, if you stink on the field like they did when they were 5-7 and you don't recruit that hard, there's players are going to go other places. So I think now they're actually recruiting up to their potential, and Dante Williams has been the leader of that.
Last couple of years, Clay Helton has had to coach with sort of the whispers around him and people saying, well, you know, does he make one more year? I'm impressed with how he has handled himself. You've watched him up close in that time. What have you seen?
Yeah, I've been impressed too. I mean, everyone here in LA media has written something about, yeah, it's probably time for USC to move on and go in another direction. And with all the stuff that's been going on in the USC athletic department, that hasn't happened. And I think now he's going to be held accountable to the, you know, Mike Bone, the new athletic director, but he's heard the whispers. It's been all around him. And I think he's just kept a positive attitude throughout all of it. And that's just who he is. When people say, oh, you wrote this about him or whatever, everyone likes him. He's just, he's a really genuinely nice guy. It's not a profession where you get a lot of those guys. So he's someone you want to root for because he is so nice. And he does treat all of his players like their family. But we haven't seen the results on the field kind of match that. But I've been impressed. He could have fought back. He could have closed things down for the media, things like that. He hasn't done that. I think he's been, you know, he's been held to a high standard as far as like dealing with everyone here in the media, and he's lived up to it. Just now, he's got to do that on the field, and if he does, you know, I think they're going to keep him around for a while. If not, I think this is an administration that they're willing to make a change, like maybe some of the other athletic directors wouldn't have done.
Talking to Ryan Abraham, owner and publisher of USCFootball.com. We keep saying, the rest of us outside USC's footprint, keep saying, conference needs USC. The conference needs USC. Is USC positioned this season, opener against Alabama? If we have a season, are they positioned well to have that kind of season where they compete for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I think they're capable of it. As far as the roster, guys coming back, I mean, if you look at across the Pac-12, there's a lot of quarterbacks that have left. There's not a lot of returning guys. You think of like Jaden Daniels at ASU and, you know, Chase Garber is at Cal. Keaton Slovis is a star in the making. And, you know, having 4 400-yard games last year in this new offense, I think they got most of their offensive production back. They also have most of their defensive production back and a whole bunch of new coaches that are going to be running a new scheme. I think their special teams are going to be better, bringing in Sean Snyder from Kansas State. So they have the opportunity to make some kind of run. The problem is, you know, what we saw from Washington a couple of years ago, you go out and lose an opener, or Oregon last year, like those are the kind of things that can hurt the whole conference, you know, the conference as a whole. And USC starting with Alabama, that's not not the most winnable game on the schedule. So even if USC makes some kind of run and wins the Pac-12, they'll still have that early season loss to Alabama kind of hanging over their heads. But I think they're capable of giving an Oregon or a Cal or Washington a run for their money. I think they'll be the favorites in the South. ASU will probably be up there. And Utah, you can't count them out, even though they lost a lot of production from last year. But this is a really talented roster, John. I think the coaching staff is going to be better. I give them a shot to make some kind of run. And I think it will help the entire Pac-12. They're a national brand. if they put a decent showing against Alabama and lose, I think that could be beneficial to USC in the conference as well. But we'll see. But they do have the capability this year. They bring a lot of people back, and I think the staff will be better.
This coronavirus has distracted a lot of people, and I think one of the beneficiaries has been Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner. I think it's provided some cover for him. The narrative now suddenly isn't about the conference falling behind. We're all focused on whether or not they're going to be games. Do you get a sense from the USC fan base or maybe even the administration at the school and the standing of the commissioner? His contract is up here in about 18 months. Where does he stand?
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think you had an awesome tweet about him taking that massive pay cut right for 3 months. So I feel like they finally have brought in an outside person to run the athletic department instead of the last three, athletic directors have all been former football players. It's just kind of done whatever USC has been doing in the past. Mike Bone comes in with a different mindset. And when I had him on my podcast, asked him, kind of made some news about, hey, he said anything is on the table as far as that goes. So I feel like he's going to be someone that would put, call to task, Larry Scott and make sure like, hey, this is what we want done. And if not, we're going to try to find someone else to do that. And if you have, bigger programs like Oregon and Washington and USC, UCLA, whatever, pushing the conference to make changes, I think that you're in a better position to do that now. So I'm curious to see what ends up happening. But Mike Bone seemed to be open to doing things like looking at other conferences, going independent. And if you just mention those things, I think that puts pressure on Larry Scott to do something and make some better choices. But if he's not going to be that guy, I think that the conference as a whole would be ready to go in another direction, because the big TV contract's coming up in 3.5 years. So you got to make sure you get the right commissioner in place, if it's not Larry Scott, to make the best deal possible for in 2024.
Ryan Abraham, our guest, uscfootball.com, owner and publisher of that site. Check it out if you're interested in knowing what's going on with the Trojans. Ryan, of course Oregon State is Oregon's natural rival, but I think if you ask the football program, all right, who's your true competition, they're going to say it's USC or it's Washington. If I ask that same question of USC, who are they saying?
Yeah, so it usually starts with the two natural rivals. The in-state one is UCLA, and USC fans hate to lose to UCLA more than anything, because you have to hear about it, in your own market. I mean, it's the same city. The same newspaper, everyone covers you. So they hate that the most. The most gratification they get from a win would probably be against Notre Dame. That's one where if you lose, there's a mutual respect there, but you don't have to hear about it every day. But right now, I mean, I think a lot of the focus from USC fans have been on Oregon. I mean, getting pounded like that late in the season when USC was playing better football, to just get smoked at home from Oregon, and the way Oregon's been able to recruit Southern California, I think a lot of the focus has shifted towards the Ducks. And, getting Dante Williams, I think it was a big deal in the fan base, just kind of taking a shot at the Ducks. Something that they could do. But that's going to be a really tough game. They got to go on the road and play in Eugene this year. I think for USC fans, it's the important games they want to win. And I think if you circle Alabama at Oregon and Notre Dame at home, those are probably the three most important games for the Trojans, and probably three of the games that they won't be the favorite in. So I think for me, and just talking to the fans, it's Oregon's been up there now. But the natural rivals are something they always focus on. But Oregon, because of their prominence lately, the way they've been able to recruit, and that beatdown that they got in the Coliseum, I think a lot of focus has gone there, too.
Yeah, it surprised me. That the second half of that game surprised me a lot. We're talking to Ryan Abraham, uscfootball.com. I know when Chip Kelly got hired at UCLA, the Bruins fans thought, okay, we're going to make USC nervous. This is a outside-the-box hire. We got a guy who can come in and shake it up. That didn't hold up. Is USC at all worried about UCLA in that way now, or do they kind of look at Chip Kelly and say, all right, the shine's off, maybe they get it together, but we're not losing sleep over this?
Yeah, I think USC has so many internal problems that they're trying to fix. They're not worried too much about UCLA, but I was in the same boat. I thought it was a brilliant hire. I'm like, this is great. Do something that UCLA never does. Bring in the proven winner, and man, that just hasn't worked out. And I think one way that a Chip Kelly was going to put pressure on USC was on the recruiting trail. And in the entire Pac-12, to be fair, I mean, I think UCLA with a great head coach can recruit a lot of that Southern California talent. And that's just not been, it's been more of the OKGR kind of guys thing. He hasn't gone out and tried to get the high ranked 4- and 5-star players. So I think that's where USC fans might have been worried the most, that some of that, the lifeblood of their program, bringing in the 5-star kids from Southern California that, you know, from Modern Day or St. John Bosco that would normally go to USC, maybe they go to UCLA. What happens is now they're going to Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State. So they've been losing them, but not to UCLA and Chip Kelly like a lot of people figured. So it hasn't, you know, Chip Kelly did beat Clay Helton head-to-head his first year. But right now, it just looks like they're a mess. And I just don't see this experiment working unless they have some kind of big turnaround in Westwood. And I mean, I'm the first one to say I thought Chip Kelly was a brilliant hire, but so far it just hasn't looked like it has been.
Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com. The talk in this state is about Ohio State and Oregon in week two of the season, Alabama and USC. How confident are you that this football season happens, and what are you hearing out of the USC program?
Yeah, I think I was pretty confident like 3 weeks ago, and I'm a little less confident now that there's more cases popping up. But I do feel like the financial pressure that the football programs are going to put on every athletic department across the country, if there's any way possible that you can have a season and keeping players safe, I think they're going to find a way to do it. We know Alabama's, full steam ahead. It's really the worry is going to be on the Pac-12 side and the USC side. And they've been cautious. They're coming back later. So I don't think they're worried about starting a month or so after the guys in Tuscaloosa are starting. They just want to make sure that they get everyone safe and get back out there on the field. So I'm still fairly optimistic this is going to happen. It's just like a step-by-step thing. But who knows? A month from now, I think it'll be different. Was it July 13th when you're going to actually see full team workouts, players working out together? It's not going to be this pod system where there's smaller groups. When you put the whole team together, I think it's a lot harder to do socially distanced stuff. So I think if that goes through, that first week or so goes through okay, and then they get to the walkthrough phase, I'll start to feel better. But that's the big one, when the whole teams are together and not just these smaller groups where you can really protect them a little bit better. It's kind of like keeping them in a bubble. But college football can't be in a bubble. I mean, football's not played. It's not a socially distanced sport. I think Sean McVay said that. And I think it's going to be a lot different than what the NBA is doing. So I'll be a little more confident maybe in 3 weeks or so if they can get through that first phase where the full teams are working out together.
Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com. Ryan, thank you for giving us your time.
Anytime, John. Thank you.
All right, there he is. He does great work. Keep an eye on him. Follow him on Twitter. Leave it here. The Culligan Water Cooler Report still ahead. People in Florida are hopping mad over the mandate that they have to wear masks. You're seeing this more and more. States, counties, cities requiring people to wear masks. Why is this such a thing? It is going to be the subject of our Culligan Water Cooler Report. We do it every day on the show. We are the water
cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
All right, there's a story here in Florida that is really interesting. I want to go to a Palm Beach County courtroom where testimony was given today about masks and a citizen upset about masks. Floridians are mad. And I want you to hear this. Let me see if I can get this going. Let's do it.
And we the people are waking up, and we know what citizens' arrest is, because citizens' arrests are already happening, okay? And every single one of you that are obeying the devil's laws are going to be arrested. And you, doctor, are going to be arrested for crimes against humanity.
The problem with humanity today is ignorance, arrogance, and apathy. Keep taking the road of least resistance. Keep listening to the TV brainwashing you from birth.
And they want to throw God's wonderful breathing system out the door. You're all turning your backs on it.
Doctor, I really have many question marks about your degrees and what you really know. I'm sorry, ma'am, but I don't think that you are worthy of your credentials. And I...
These are citizens in Florida who don't want to wear masks. Adriana, respond.
I wish y'all could see my face, because it's just...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald...
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.